I love these guys.
Well, welcome to the post-draft edition of Secondhand Lions podcast. John Drennan here with my good friend Bill Radford, and we've been yakking about the draft as everybody in the NFL world has, and it's come and gone. And I'll tell you, Bill, I'm excited because while it wasn't sexy, it wasn't splashy, and I feel like during the draft they got almost no attention from the media. I loved it because I think they checked the boxes and hit the hits they needed to in this draft. So we're going to get into it. But hey, let me go to you. I know you watched it. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, kudos to you, John. Before the draft even happened, you said you thought the Lions would choose Blake Miller at number 17. And that's what they did. And there was one at least offensive tackle that the experts said was rated higher, which was Mason Freeling. But he has injury issues, and he went two spots later at 19. So good job on picking Blake Miller, and I'm like you say, it's not a sexy pick, but the guy's big and strong, and the thing that's impressive is he played 54 games for Clemson, never missed one, only missed two practices the entire time. And as I like to say, is one of the most important abilities a football player can have is availability. And it doesn't matter if you're more talented, et cetera, if you're always hurt. So I think that's a good choice. And the second pick, Derek Moore. And the third, Jimmy Rolder. Everybody that's a Michigan fan knows about those guys. So I hope they work out well. It'll be fun if Moore can combine with his fellow Michigan alumni, Aiden Hutchinson, and wreak some havoc on quarterbacks if he's good. Hutch should be able to increase his sack total from a couple of years ago. Last year, or 2 years ago, he was well on his way to possibly defensive player of the year before he broke his leg. And then last year, it's his first year back, and he played well, but he didn't have a lot of help. So I'm glad they got Derek, and I'm hoping he turns out to be very good. And you're high on Keith Abney, you said, because he was thought to be a third-round pick, and instead he went in the fifth to the Lions at cornerback. The one I'm not sure about is Kendrick Law, wide receiver from Kentucky. He seemed to be short for a wide receiver these days. I think he's 5'10 or 5'11. Of course, New England had three of those guys in succession, starting with Wes Welker, and then two others. Their names escape me right now, but they were slot receivers, and they all did really, really well. So maybe that's what he'll do.
Yeah, Amendola was one of them. And
the round five was Kendrick Law from Kentucky. Oh, you're talking about
England, New England. Those three back to back to back, they were all great. Amendola, I think, was.
Yeah, and the last one was Julian Edelman.
There you go. Yeah, those guys were all really good.
Yeah, and it was Amendola. You're right.
Yeah, right.
But those guys, they were slot receivers. They weren't very big, but they knew how to run routes and catch the ball, and they were tough-nosed. So maybe that's what he'll do. I don't know. I'm not familiar with him. I just saw his stats, and I was a little surprised that they took a wide receiver who's 5'11". I was a little disappointed they didn't get Cole Wisniewski from Texas Tech, 6'3", 220 pounds, safety, supposedly hits like a truck. They had a chance to get him. He went in the seventh round, but they picked Tyre West, an edge from Tennessee. So, then the undrafted free agents, that's another interesting list.
Well, before we go down that, let's stay
Okay.
with the ones they drafted for a minute. You were just talking about Kendrick Lauf. I saw him 5'10", 185 pounds out of Kentucky. However, a couple things prior to that, he played for Alabama and transferred. And I was listening to a podcast, and apparently Brad Holmes or someone with the Lions noticed him when he was with Alabama and kept an eye on him. And get this, at Alabama, Jahmyr Gibbs wore number one, Jameson Williamson wore number one, and Kendrick Law wore number one. So if that means anything, we'll take another guy that wore jersey number one at Alabama. But
That's
apparently, Bill,
supposedly a real compliment to the players at Alabama to be number one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Law is apparently a good returner. He's got a lot of speed, a lot of savvy, and really matches up well with Greg Dortch, who we got from the Cardinals this year, and matches up well as a possible replacement for
Belief Raymond.
Raymond, thank you. I'm slow with that. So he's competition. And one theme that came up all during the draft around Detroit was how they have brought competition to each of the rooms, each of the positions. And I think that's what they did with Law. So, and apparently too, he's a gunner, a really good special teams. And Bill, I learned this year what the gunner is. I used to think gunners were returners. They're the ones that you try and get down the field as fast as possible.
Right.
So speed and avail, they avoid getting blocked.
Evasiveness. Right.
So, but let's go back to Blake Miller. You gave some of the reasons, and I was so high on Blake Miller for the reasons you gave, which is what I kept hearing and reading about. But he was also a wrestler in high school. Wrestlers always have great balance and body control. You might have mentioned he had 54 starts in college. He started every game for 4 straight years at Clemson. And as you said, never missed a game, hardly a practice. So very durable guy. He was also a captain. And everything I've heard, they feel like he's got a high floor. What that means is his worst is pretty good, but a high ceiling that hasn't been reached yet. Like he's going to get better. And that's a segue into Derek Moore. Their number two pick, Bill, and you and I were saying for weeks and weeks, they need a tackle, they need an edge. And they were going to pick at 50, and the board was falling pretty good because. In the it was I don't know around pick 43, there were still three or four really good edge prospects, but the Lions moved up by giving up a fourth round pick to go to the 44th pick to get more. Well, get this, the next team that picked was the Ravens, and they picked an edge. Who's the head coach of the Ravens? Jesse Mentor, who used to coach Derek Moore at Michigan. I gotta believe that they were gonna pick Moore at 45, and the Lions knew that. And I also gotta believe Derek Moore was the guy the Lions wanted, and they went and got him. And so that combined with Blake Miller, because people that heard the previous podcast, I did said they might be able to trade down and get Miller, but I really think that would have been risky. I'm glad they didn't trade down. They got Miller, then they traded up to get more. And I just think they got the two guys they wanted at one and two.
Well, Brad Holmes was reported to have been considering trading up to get Miller,
Right.
but when the Rams went with a quarterback, he felt pretty confident that they would be able to pick Miller at 17.
Yeah, and Bill, you just mentioned to me the shocker of the draft was the Rams taking Ty Simpson at 13. I don't think anybody predicted that. Yeah, they wanted to take him, but not at the 13th pick.
Well, they did the Lions a favor.
They sure did, and they might have done the NFC, what are they, NFC West
West.
a favor.
Right.
But hey, the Rams know what they're doing, so I'm not going to get critical of the Rams.
My question about Miller is he going to play right tackle and they're going to move Sewell to left, or is he going to try to play left tackle? Because I think
I
he
think
played
it's
right tackle at
100%.
Clemson.
He's a right tackle. They're going to move Penei Sewell, who played left tackle in college.
Yeah, I've wondered why Sewell hasn't been on the left side the whole time, but
I think it was two words, Taylor Decker.
right.
I mean, they had a strong left tackle. By the way, Blake Miller compares very well to Decker, except he's a right tackle. And other things about him, captain, wrestler, high ceiling, reliable, not getting hurt. Apparently, too, he just likes to maul guys into the ground. I mean, he's a tough guy, and he's also a really good pass blocker. So every box checked for him as what we needed in that pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, he looked plenty happy to be coming to the Lions. You know how they have those
Yeah.
cameras. He was one that didn't come to the, I don't think he was in the green room. Or was he?
I don't think so.
No, he was surrounded by family. These guys always have pretty women sitting next to him or their mom.
Yeah, no surprise. By the way, he said he had only talked to Lions once prior to the draft, and Rutledge, last year's number two pick from Georgia, the starting guard, I'm sorry, Rutledge. He told Miller he had only talked to him once last year, so that wasn't necessarily a big deal one way or the other. But let's keep going, Bill. James Roeder, I didn't know much about him. I know he played linebacker at Michigan and started his senior year last year. But his best games were against Ohio State and Michigan State, the two biggest rivals. And everything I hear about him, he's a great tackler. He's tough, he's gritty, and is potentially a replacement or certainly a rotational piece to help fill the Alex Anzalone loss. And Keith Abney, as you said, he was projected in the third or fourth round. Lions got him in the fifth round. He compares very favorably to Amik Robertson, in a lot of ways, size, tenacity, ability to play the nickel back. So I think, and most of the draft grades I saw gave that pick an A because he was supposed to go so much earlier. Bill, the guys they got at 6 and 7, they're interesting. They're both short for their position, a little bit light as defensive tackles, but one of them can play defensive end. But they're both apparently very gritty, very tough, and they'll bring real competition. But they both remind me of Wingo, who has had some injury issues, so. Once again, competition in each of the rooms.
Yeah, I know very little about the guys that were in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds for any team. So, but like I explained, I heard that 60+% of the players on opening day roster in the NFL are from the fourth through the seventh rounds. So they're finding there's just so much talent. Players are so good that you think every Big Ten team, SEC team, Pac-12 team, whatever conference you want to name, has 60 or 70 exceptional athletes on their roster. I mean, they're obviously tremendous athletes, or they wouldn't be playing Division I college football. And then you get the top 200 and something are drafted. That's a very, very small percentage.
Yeah, you're so right. Bill, I
So
remember several years ago I was doing a speaking and training in front of a large group, and that's something I used to do a lot. And there were in that group a lot of people who were into sports, and so it was several years ago when Alabama just kept winning. I started my talk by saying, and this was a national group. I said, by the way, I don't know if you heard, it just hit this morning. Alabama's no longer in the SEC. And I could see faces all over the room, like, what? I said, no, they're in the NFL. And
everybody laughed and were relieved all at the same time.
you're right. And I could have done that same thing a few years later and substituted Georgia or Ohio State. I mean, you're so right. The players. It's getting better every year.
Well, what amazes me is seeing these guys, like you mentioned, the one Nigerian guy that has never played football. It's amazing to me to see guys that are getting close to 300 pounds running 4.5 40s.
Right. And he had, I think you said, a 39-inch vertical. That guy was drafted by the Eagles, folks, and never
Could you
played football.
imagine being hit by a guy running a 4.5 40 that weighs 300 pounds? 300 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, and that's why every year injuries seem to be more, what can we do to prevent them? And they're not being prevented. You can't.
When I've started watching football, a guy like Alex Karras, defensive tackle for the Lions, was a big guy. I think he was 6'1" or 2", and he weighed 250 pounds. And
Well, I
that
think
was
you shortchanged him. I think he was about 255, 260.
okay.
But you're right. You're right.
Point is, that's a small defensive lineman now. I mean, Reuben Bain went the team wrecker from Miami, who I just thought was outstanding. And he was initially, they thought he would go in the first four or five. He went relatively, I mean, he went in the first round, but relatively late. And they said it was because he's short and has short arms. And he's over 6 foot, but he has short arms. So, man, he was extremely impressive to me anyway at Miami. He just seemed to be able to dominate whoever was blocking him and get in the backfield and wreak havoc. You
Yeah,
could
and
tell
folks.
he was irritated that he was picked so late.
Yeah, I think he was the ninth pick. He's 6'2", 262. So about the size of Alex Karras, who played defensive tackle. Those guys today, most of them, they're 300 plus. Many are 330, 340. So you're right. But we see running backs who are that size. I mean, isn't the big fella from from Baltimore, isn't he about 260?
Derrick Henry, yeah.
Yeah, so
And he runs like the wind.
yeah. Well, Bill, before and earlier you were starting to talk about the undrafted free agents the Lions got. Before we do that, I just want to do this real quick. You know, for months we've been talking about free agency and the draft and players leaving, players coming, and I kept talking about boxes we got to check. And now that the draft's over and we've got these also these non-drafted free agents, I want to do a quick run through of these boxes. And I'm going to start with the five most significant ones. And that was number one, offensive coordinator. Would you agree we can check that box, but only time will tell for sure?
Well, yeah, as far as we know, heard nothing but good stuff. But
Right.
like you
Drew.
said, time will tell. We were talking about last year at the beginning of the year, Johnny Morton was going to be great.
And we said time will tell. So time did tell. We were wrong, or I was wrong. But Drew Petsing, everything we're seeing and hearing, he it's a great pick. But we also got Mike Kafka, who some thought he might be the D coordinator, or I'm sorry, offensive coordinator for the Lions or some other team or a head coach again. So we got those two guys. Let's say that box we can check. At least, I mean, no box can you check and say it's solved because you don't know. But then let's say center. I know I'm checking that box. Cade Mays, everything I hear about him, he's got a big ceiling. He's rough and tough. He's a good pass blocker, and he's got experience. What do you think, Blake Miller? Can we check the box for tackle?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, all indications are, and Dabo Swinney, his college coach, could not stop heaping praise on him.
That's right.
So,
And by the way, the guy from Georgia you mentioned, some people wanted to see Freely get taken, but he only had something like 14 college starts. Blake Miller is plug and play ready to go. Freeling
well,
might have
and
taken
Freeling
him.
had a history of, they weren't sure about his health. So.
All right, next box. So that's four. I'm sorry, that's three. And I said five. There are four critical ones. The fourth one is edge. And Derek Moore, time will tell again. But one thing that I've heard, Bill, they also feel like he's got a lot of ceiling and that he wasn't maybe coached all that well at Michigan. And we just haven't seen the best of him. But he's a powerful guy. Now let's look at other boxes that had to be checked. When David Montgomery got traded to the Texans, we needed a running back. Well, I'm not sure they could have found a better complement than Pacheco, but again, we'll see. Coming 2 years away from his injury, if he's anything close to form, we fully check that box. Linebacker. Well, we got we traded for Damone, is it Damone Clark? I don't know much about him except people are confident with his NFL experience, so we
Who
didn't
are we
trade for
talking about?
I'm sorry, we didn't trade for him. He was a free agent, Damone Clark,
Okay.
and
We also
quarterback.
drafted a linebacker, Jimmy Rolder from Michigan.
Yeah, and we drafted James Rolder from Michigan. So I feel like we can check that box. Cornerback. So we bring in from free agency Roger McCreary, who has started in the NFL solid. And I think we can check that box. Amik Robertson. Everything, as I said earlier, they tell us about Keith Abney, our fourth round pick. Or our fourth pick. picked in the fifth round, but our fourth pick. He's a lookalike. And Christian Eizian, who we got in free agency, apparently can play nickel, cornerback, and safety. Wide receiver. Again, we got Greg Dortch from the Cardinals, and now we drafted Kendrick Law. I think we can check that box. Tight end, we had to strengthen that. I think we can check that box with the addition of Tyler Conklin as a free agent. Back to edge. Not only did we draft Derek Moore, but in free agency, we got what's his name? The edge. Wollum? You don't know. His name will come to me. But somebody that Brad Holmes said could be our starting edge opposite Hutch. DJ Wonnum.
Okay.
He spent several years as a starter in the NFL. And then finally on the defensive line, and now we're in build to the undrafted free, or I'm sorry, we drafted two guys. We have Levi Onwuzurike back. Aleem McNeil should be better than he was, another year away from his injury. And then, Bill, go ahead, talk about the undrafted free agents. We got nine of those.
Yeah, and six of them are on defense. We did pick up a quarterback, Luke Altmaier from Illinois, and I think he'll make the team because you need three quarterbacks. And then the tight end, Miles Kitzelman from Tennessee. So we did pick up a tight end, but then they drafted two edges, one Eric O'Neill from Rutgers and Anthony Lucas from USC. A defensive tackle, Aiden Kenina from Cal. They gave him 300,000 guaranteed.
Yeah, so that says something.
Right. Eric Hunter, linebacker from Morgan State, they gave him 175,000 guaranteed. And then two more defensive backs, Deshaun Rucker from U University of Southern Florida, and Amaris Brown from UNLV. So, I don't know how many of these guys have a chance to make the team. I think the quarterback and probably the two guys they guaranteed money to have the best chance out of the nine. But you never know what they are going to look like in camp, whether they'll get signed to the practice squad. But you know what the coaches always say is, look, in these preseason games, you have to do your best. You have to look as good as you can because even if we don't keep you, other teams are watching.
And Bill,
So
I
they.
think that's part of the magic of the NFL. A player's constantly motivated to be their best.
Right.
Other teams, they're always looking. They're always needing help.
Well, and that could happen to Detroit. I mean, they could have their roster, they think, pretty much set, and then a team cuts a player that they think is better than somebody they have. So you pick them up, then it's just so hard. I imagine for these guys to be the last 5 to 10 guys that made the team. Because they know when the other team does their cuts, the other teams do their cuts, they might not make it after all. So it's a brutal business because there's so many talented guys, and I think there are probably players that never got a chance that could have had good careers in the NFL.
That's right, for sure.
I mean, you just look at a couple that I'm thinking of. Tom Brady was pick 199th. He was New England decided to keep him as the third quarterback after the first training camp. He could have easily been cut, and maybe nobody picks him up. But even more, Kurt Warner was playing for an indoor league team, and the Rams signed him as insurance, and the starter got hurt, and he's in the Hall of Fame now. So, and that's an example of guys that did make it, but there have to be other guys that were, they had the talent, they just didn't get the break.
Yeah, and
That's not either
the
one of us, by the way.
guys that, and the guys that just never make it because of injury, you know, even college guys in college that look like they're going to be awesome and they just can't get there.
Yeah. I forget his name now, but there was a running back for the Wolverines that was going to be a number one draft pick. And this is before the NIL money. And he blew out his knee in the game before Ohio State playing at Minnesota on that horrible carpet they used to have at the Metrodome. And he never got to play again. So he went from probably guaranteed millions to nothing.
Well, Bill, in wrapping this draft up, any real surprises? You did mention the guy from Texas Tech. I think you mentioned him earlier on the podcast. He went late, and you're kind of hoping we'd get him. Any other kind of surprises?
Well, the big surprise is, well, you said the Rams picking a quarterback.
At 13.
Right. That was a head scratcher. Virtually everybody. I watched the NFL network telecast of the draft because I really didn't want to listen to Mel Kiper. On the other network. So, but those nobody there saw that coming.
Yeah, or anywhere.
Right.
Speaking of the coverage, Bill, I found myself getting really tired of it because the Lions, it felt like the old days of how the Lions just got no respect, no attention. They were hardly ever mentioned in any way. Now, the
Right.
teams that were mentioned, and I gotta say, I was texting you, there's some teams I think that are going to be a whole lot better next year. And as you say, well, they couldn't get worse, but the Jets, man, did they load up? The Browns, the Raiders, the Giants. I think all these teams, there's another one that struggled last year. I think they just added
Well,
substantially.
yeah, I agree they'll be better, but I don't think three players in the first round are going to fix the Jets. They were just awful.
Well, they did good in the later rounds too. I
Yeah.
agree with your point there, but they got better. And Dolphins was the other one. You know, they cleaned house and they had all kinds of picks and
Well, the Jets will be better, but I mean, if they win six games, they're better.
true.
And
True.
the
And
Raiders, the same thing.
I mean, the Lions went, they won three Campbell's first year, but they had Penei Sewell and they had Amon-Ra and they had some free agents, and you could start to see a corner turn. I think some corners are going to be turned.
You may be right.
Well, Bill, a couple other surprises to me. McNeil Warren, the cornerback from Toledo, most mock drafts had him going in the first round. He went, I believe, late second round. And you know, Jermod McCoy, Tennessee cornerback, He was considered the best cornerback in this year's draft had he not gotten hurt. And he didn't play last year. But they still thought he might get picked in the first round. Most people thought, no, but he'll get picked in the second round. He was still available when the fourth round started. He was the first pick of the fourth round. I'll bet Brad Holmes was licking his chops to maybe try and move up and get him. But again, he went right away in the fourth round. But there's a guy. He could end up being an all-pro for multiple years or just never come back from that injury. And apparently enough teams thought it was a tough enough injury to not risk it.
Well, the one I guess it was a surprise is Diego Pavia, the runner-up Heisman quarterback for Vanderbilt, did not get drafted. He has since signed a rookie tryout with Baltimore. But it was because of his height at 5'10" and his combine performance that led to him going undrafted. So you can be a great college quarterback and not be a pro.
Oh, you got that right. Well, there were 10 quarterbacks drafted. I just looked it up. I'm surprised that was the number. Mendoza went number one, then Ty Simpson, Carson Beck, Drew Aller, Cade Klubnik, Cole Payton, Talen Green, Ethan, I don't know the last name, Bayron Morton, and Garrett Neusmeyer. But three of them went in the seventh round. So we'll see. As you said earlier, Tom Brady went late.
Well, Drew Aller is the one that I heard a lot of buzz about that. He was in an offense in at Penn State that did not showcase his talent. And they think that he'll be a much better pro than he was a college player, and he was a pretty good college player. So that will be interesting. He went to Baltimore as well. No, he went to Pittsburgh. It's interesting if they're going to try to bring Aaron Rodgers back. Kind of wish he would go ahead and retire.
Everything I hear, he's coming back. They know it. He's just not saying it yet. But
He
we'll
loves the
see.
drama.
Yep. Well, Bill, I'll wrap up here with this comment that I heard Brad Holmes say repeatedly, and then various podcasters repeat it. The term he used a lot after this draft was he's a football player. And
Right.
translation, when Brad Holmes says that, is this guy'll freaking hit you. This guy's a stud. This is
Right.
the guy we want on the team. So we shall
Well,
see.
that I've talked about that before. The combine shows raw athletic ability, but it doesn't necessarily show a football player.
That's right.
So
I didn't play a lot of football, Bill. I did play high school, and so I remember playing JV and varsity and at two different schools. And there were guys that were just football players. You'd look
right.
at them and say, that guy probably didn't play football. Well, then he'd hit you and you'd go, that guy plays football. Or just the instincts, just a feel for the game, the love of the game. So at all levels, there are football players. They prove it on
Well,
the field.
I do want to mention, because we're also Detroit sports fans, hope the Pistons can right the ship. They're not looking real good right now, down 3-1 to the 8th seed Orlando, but they have it in them to come back. And one thing about the Detroit Tigers, this rookie they have you paid attention to this?
Not yet. No, not at all.
Kevin McGonigal is his name. He leads all rookies in Major League Baseball in every offensive category except home runs.
Wow.
Got the best average, best on base percentage, slugging, on base plus slugging, just on and on and on. All the metrics, he's in first place. He's hitting 330. He's been on base every game. So
I know the
they
Tigers are leading there, the AL Central barely and barely at 500. AL Central's not looking very good yet.
No. They need a closer. They signed this guy. This guy's been around the league forever. He used to be great with the Dodgers, but I don't think he has much left. Canley Jensen. He gave up a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth to Milwaukee in the first game they played against them and lost the game by a run. So, but it's early, 162 games.
A long way to go.
Right.
All right. Well, next time we talk, I hope we're saying the Pistons came back against Orlando, and probably they'd be one more game to go at that point. But folks, it's Tuesday, a couple days after the draft ended, a little bit early for us, but we wanted to get this post-draft podcast done. Thanks for being part of the Secondhand Lions. If you've not been to our website, please go to the SHL Lion, I'm sorry, podcast.com. So the SHL podcast.com. That's our website. So, Bill, any final comments?
Yeah, and if you go to the website, send it to some friends, like us, and we'd like to increase our viewership, our listenership, I should say. So we'll see you all next week.
All right, take care. Bye for now.